Hare Krishna, please accept my humble obeisances. Today we are fortunate to have Amarendra Prabhuji for enlightening on the topic of Srimad Bhagavatam, 6th Canto, 18th chapter and 38th verse. And let's welcome Prabhuji. Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dadavat Pranam, all Guru and Sister Prabhupada. Thank you very much for joining this morning for your valuable time and association, Prabhuji. And please take over the call, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you for this opportunity, Mataji. Thank you. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtham Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahim Tati Swapadantikam Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Prashthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swamiti Namini Namaste Saraswati Deve Gaurvani Prasharani Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschati Deshatarani Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. Thank you, dear Shama Gauri Mataji, and all the wonderful organizers of the call. Thank you for kindly engaging me in this service, early morning Srimad Bhagavatam discussion based on the 6th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. I've been asked to serve this morning from Srimad Bhagavatam, canto 6, chapter 18, text 38. This is the verse that has been assigned. So we will quickly read the verse, the translation, and Srila Prabhupada's purport. And then in the interest of time, we will get started. Nishamyatadvacho vipro vimana paryatapyata aho adharma sumahan adyame samupasthitaha Nishamyatadvacho vipro vimana paryatapyata aho adharma sumahan adyame samupasthitaha Nishamya tadvacho vipro vimana paryatapyata aho adharma sumahan adyame samupasthitaha. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. Upon hearing Diti's request, Kashyapa Muni was very much aggrieved. Alas, he lamented, now I face the danger of the impious act of killing Indra. Purport. Although Kashyapa Muni was eager to fulfill the desire of his wife Diti, when he heard that she wanted a son to kill Indra, his jubilation was immediately reduced to nothing because he was averse to the idea. So this morning, Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam, who is none different from Krishna, has engaged us in the service to his lotus feet. We cannot study and master Srimad Bhagavatam. He is our master. We cannot master him. We serve him by reading his words. We serve him by hearing his conclusions. We serve him by distributing the literature. We serve him by speaking and singing his glories in line with what our acharyas have given. Throughout Srimad Bhagavatam, as Krishna Swarup remains our master. It's not a book to be studied and gained scholarship over and control and manipulate, because we are servants. We are always servants. Actually, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has written that Srimad Bhagavatam is like Mohini Murthy. If we have the mentality of a demon, that is to cheat Mohini Murthy and somehow get the nectar out, then all that we will be left with is cheating, poison. That's all. Like Rahu tried to cheat and his head was taken away from the body. So similarly, if we, with a different non-devotional mentality, if we try to approach Srimad Bhagavatam, either to get some knowledge out or to memorize some verses and show others how scholarly we are, or to memorize passages and to impress others upon how much we can remember or how we can narrate and whatnot, then it's like a demoniac mentality where Srimad Bhagavatam, like Mohini Murthy, will end up cheating us. Instead of giving us love of Godhead, the weight of the head will increase. On the other hand, if we serve Srimad Bhagavatam like the demigods, taking complete shelter, then Srimad Bhagavatam will offer us the amrita of the churning process. You can see the churning of the milk ocean took place, and the Supreme Lord himself came out, as in many incarnations actually. He supported the Mandarachala mountain as Kurmadev, and at the same time, so many incarnations, Dhanvantari, Mohini Murthy, Ityadi. So Srimad Bhagavatam is like that, is the essence of the churning process of all Shastras. Brahmam Bodhi Samudbhavam Kalimalam Pradvamsanam Javyayam. Shastra describes when the milk ocean is churned, one pot comes out, nectar. But when all the Shastras are churned, then 18,000 verses, an ocean of nectar comes out in the form of Srimad Bhagavatam. And only those who have divine mentality of service, in the mood of a servant, like how the demigods churned, only they can get the nectar. So out of these verses of Srimad Bhagavatam, different purports and different interpretations can be, of course, had and inferred. But in today's discussion, let us focus on one specific word in this verse, and that is Nishamya, that is hearing. We see in this verse, Nishamya tad vacho vipraha. Kashyapa Muni, who is the vipra, who is the brahmana, Nishamya, he heard. What did he hear? Tad vachaha. He heard the words of his wife, Diti. And what were those words? Diti actually wanted a son, and Kashyapa Muni granted that desire. But however, her desire was, I want a son who will kill Indra. Now, many times, as practicing devotees, we tend to make this mistake of belittling the position of Indra. This is a very great offense. You can see even in the Shastra, many times when Lord Shiva is glorified, Indra is glorified on the side. Pranaschama Indraschame. I offer my life to Lord Shiva, but also to Indra, is what the Vedic mantra says. So Indra is a very powerful personality. And he goes through different movements in the Shastra, whether it is the act of trying to come close to Ahalya in the absence of Gautama Rishi, or whether it is the act of trying to destroy Vrindavan through the Govardhan Leela, or taking on Krishna for the Parijata tree. So many instances can be mentioned, or whether it is disrespecting or dishonoring the presence of his guru, Brihaspati, in the royal court found in the sixth canto. So we can see so many instances are given like this, but the way to understand that, the Gaudiya way to understand this, is Sri Krishna Chaitanya Priya Bhakta Dware Anyere Shikshakare Eito Prakare. This is a very important verse, that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's associates, including Devaraj Indra, they act in a certain way, not because of their fault or not because of the anarthas in their heart, but to teach all of us a lesson. The Supreme Lord teaches us through his dear associates. And Srila Prabhupada would give this very beautiful example. May not be directly found in the present generation, but definitely during Prabhupada's era, in the cultured background of Calcutta, Srila Prabhupada observed and also shared it with all of us. That is, the mother-in-law teaches the daughter-in-law through her own daughter. So if the daughter-in-law is new into the house, the mother-in-law would not give her any advice, right? Because the relationship has not developed completely. So the mother-in-law will teach the daughter-in-law by teaching her daughter in the presence of the daughter-in-law. Like if the mother-in-law wants to teach the daughter-in-law something, then in the presence of the daughter-in-law, she will tell the daughter, oh, you put too much salt here, you should be careful, something like that. Although the daughter would have put enough or properly, but just to give a message to someone, the mother-in-law would speak to the daughter. Why would Srila Prabhupada give this example? The context is Krishna teaches us through his empowered representatives like Indra. So it's not that the demigods are making mistakes. We should take it as we are being taught by Krishna through the example of the demigods. So in this case, nishamyatat vacho vipro vimana pariyatapyata. When Kashyapa Muni heard from his wife Diti that she wanted a son who will kill Indra, who's so empowered and a very, very wonderful and a very opulent, very charismatic, and also consciousness-wise much advanced than humans, very great personality. So at that time, what did Kashyapa Muni do? Aho adharma sumahan adyame samupastitaha. Oh, what have I done? I have promised you my words that I will fulfill your desire, but in front of me is a great adharma, samupastitaha. Samyak rupena upastitaha. Upastitaha means to be present. When you have to say, I am present in class. So the teacher will say your name in the Sanskrit school. The student says, upastitosmi. Oh, I am present. I am attending, right? So sam upastitaha. Completely present before me is this adharmaha. Aho sumahan adharmaha. Very great calamity has appeared in front of me. So that is the verse that we are discussing on. So on a practical front, we need to introspect on this point that whatever we hear has a very great impact on our chitta, on our consciousness. This is a practical point. Not just for human beings. You can see that sound certainly plays a very interesting scientific and a practical role in the lives of everyone. Like you can just stand under a tree and clap your hands very vigorously and you will see that the birds will fly out of fear. The birds may not even see the source of the person who's clapping, right? We stand under a tree and we may see up. There are a few chirping birds right there. But they may not be able to see us. And you just vigorously clap. It induces and inflicts fear in their heart. And those birds flap their wings and they fly instantaneously out of fear. Not even knowing the source, but just hearing the sound, it inflicts some pain. So you can see the power of sound in the life of birds. On the flip side, you can see Krishna during his childhood pastimes, kujantam kokilai pare. It is described Krishna would make the sounds of a cuckoo bird and the cuckoo bird would respond according to Krishna's sound. And then Krishna would mimic the sound and there used to be a nice symphony, a nice concert, a nice jugalbandi between the cuckoo birds of Vrindavan and Krishna's transcendental vocal cords. So we are giving an example where positive sound brings in joy in the heart of the birds. And on the other hand, just a aimless and purposeless clapping just inflicts and instills fear in the heart of the birds and they fly away. Not just in birds, you can see even in insects like the mosquitoes. Of course, people have very nasty ways of killing them. But even when I was growing up, there used to be a certain process by which you emit a certain frequency, sound frequency, which knocks off the mosquitoes far away. And then came the generation of the coils, where a certain smell knocks the mosquitoes away. But before that was a generation where they used to have a certain sound frequency. And it's not too much and it's not too little. And just the sound frequency would keep the mosquitoes away because it sets a certain impact in the life of the mosquitoes, in the hearing ability of the mosquitoes. So whether it's mosquitoes as small as the mosquitoes or the chirping of the birds, there's effective sound in their lives. Also, we can see the classic example of dhanyas mamuda gatayopi harinya eta yananda nandanam upata vichitra vesham akarnya venuranitam saha krishna sara pujam dadur virachitam pranayavalokai. In the Venu Geet, you can see Krishna's flute sound certainly caused a great source of exhilaration and joy in the heart of the deer. So much so that dhanyas mamuda gatayopi harinya eta yananda nandanam upata vichitra vesham. The Srimad Bhagavatam describes when Krishna would play the flute, the deer of Vrindavan, who were very dear to Krishna, and Krishna was very dear to the deer. So when Krishna would play the flute and Krishna's deer flute sound would reach the ear of the deer of Vrindavan. Then it's described the deer would get stubbed, completely still and stunned by the sound. And they would stand like painted pictures. This is the effect of Krishna's flute sound. And they would try to rush to come to Krishna. It is the fight between two emotions. It is the autsukya, which means the enthusiasm, the eagerness to run to Krishna. But yet at the same time, the flute sound of Krishna would make them completely stunned. And their feet would get stone-footed, which means they couldn't move. And they would stand like painted pictures. And yet at the same time, it was their desire to run to Krishna. And they would be stunned again by the flute sound. And they want to run and then get stunned and then run and get stunned. And this effect has been described in Srimad Bhagavatam. And then the male deer, the husband of this female, would nudge and almost take the female to Krishna as they would get stunned, not being able to reach Krishna. And when they would come closer to Krishna, they would lick Krishna's lotus feet and offer him flowers in the form of loving glances through their doe eyes. So very beautiful description given in Srimad Bhagavatam. Even in the present generation, actually, I have a very dear friend who's a flute player. And he mentioned to me that when he went into a deep forest a few years ago and he played the flute, it took him about 30 to 45 minutes of playing the flute. And then after that, there was a group of deer which actually came close. And they were stunned. Of course, they didn't lick his feet and they were not acting the way the deer of Vrindavan did. But they were stunned by the sound. They were hypnotized and mesmerized by the sound. And they would stand close to him and just look at him. And then when he would stop playing the flute, reality would dawn in their eyes that he could actually be a potential hunter who has come to take their lives. And they would run away. And he explains to me that he would play the flute and they would come back again. Quite exciting. So even in the present generation, you can see the effect of sound, whether it's in mosquitoes or whether it's in the bird or whether it's in the deer. And who is here who doesn't like to hear melodious music, right? You can see when you hear music which is not very good, like not very high class, the lower part of the body starts tapping. Like you hear some rajasic music and your foot tapping. But on the other hand, you can hear sattvic music, classical music, soothing music, and you will see the upper body, the upper part of the head starts to move. So the body gives you a sign automatically how it reacts to sound, right? Automatically, even without you realizing whether you want to foot tap or whether you want to move your head. And of course, in Kirtan, when devotees foot tap and jump and move their head and their body, that's a transcendental experience. We aren't even talking about that. And who can deny the effect of sound in our lives as human beings, right? Who prefers to be next to a window where there's honking of horn and people are, you know, stuck in traffic and shouting and yelling and fighting going on, or there's some construction work going on or some metal crushing sound which sends shivers down our spine? We don't like that kind of sound. On the other hand, imagine being next to nature, where you can hear the humming of the bees and the chirping of the birds early in the morning. And you can hear the sound of the rustling of the leaves because of the breeze. And at the same time, the sound of the trickling down of the water because of the movement of the river. How soothing. And automatically the person becomes peaceful just by that sound. So it is of paramount importance to know that sound certainly has a great effect in our lives. When someone comes and sits next to us and starts yelling at us or scolding or criticizing someone else or bad-mouthing, naturally we feel a sense of contamination in the heart. We don't feel very good. We don't want to sit next to a person who's a critical fault finder. On the other hand, if you have someone who encourages and through words, they speak kind words and sweet words and inspiring words, and they speak even praise and they uplift and empower, you want to hear such people. You want to sit next to such people. You want to be empowered by the sound. So it's, let's say it's two people who are both humans and they have like the same vocal ability and the same expressing, articulating ability. But depending on what is being articulated, the emotions in the heart change. You could have someone who can yell and scream in public at you, and you hold that that scar in, you know, as a personal blemish all your life. Or you could have someone who even privately taps your shoulder and says, I am so proud of you. I'm so happy that you did this. Thank you. I pray to Krishna that may he bless you. You see, just that one interaction, it empowers us. It makes us feel so good. So the effect of sound, even on a practical level, is of undeniable importance and significance. You can see other examples of even scientists performing research and giving their conclusions in research paper as the effect of sound even on plants. Like you can see as early as Jagdish Chandra Bose, a very renowned scholar and scientist from India, mentioning about this phenomenon that the effect of sound on plants with sensors clipped onto their leaves. You can have a plant next to a very soothing, sweet, and meditative classical music, and you will see that the growth of the plant over a span of 1 month is very positive. And on the other hand, you can expose, not that you have to, but just for the sake of the research, if you expose a plant to very bad sound vibration, even if the plant doesn't understand your words and your language, let's say if you sit next to a plant and you say, you're very ugly, you're dirty, I don't want you alive. Effect has shown through research that such plants don't survive long. So much so that trees which are as old as 100, 200, even 300 years old in the Solomon Islands, when you can't uproot them from the root, villagers and the tribal community hold hands around such a tree and they hurl abuses for 15 days every single day that we wish you die. You're such a curse in our family. We hate you. You're ugly and things like that, which words shouldn't be spoken and uttered even for the sense of example. But on doing this, plants and trees which have survived centuries end up drying in a few months or even a few weeks. So this is a fact that whether it's plants, whether it's creeper, whether it's trees, whether it's animals, whether it's birds, whether it's insects, whether it's human beings, sound, and this is all just material sound. It has so much effect. Absolutely so much effect. Even from a scientific perspective, we can see that sound is integral in all the elements. Bhumi rapo nalo vayu khammano buddhirevacha ahankara iti yamme bhinna prakritirashtada. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita of the different elements who are fragmental parts and parcels of his manifestation, like earth, water, fire, air, ether, right? Now, if you think about it, what are the things that are found in the earth element of Krishna's creation, which is like mud, for example, or the ground? What are some things that are found? Can we see them? Yes. And can we smell the fragrance of Mother Earth? Yes. Can we taste? Do we want to? No. But can we? Yes. Can we hear someone walking? Yes. And can we feel the ground by applying mud on the body? Yes. So earth element can be experienced by the eyes, by the nose, by the tongue, by the ear, and the sense of touch. Now, if you go to the next element from earth, let's go to earth water. Water is the next element. Now, for water, if you see, smell disappears. You can see water and you can hear sound in water and you can taste and also feel whether it's hot or cold, but you can smell water. Of course, you can smell the dirt in the water, but water by itself may not carry fragrance. I remember in my childhood, I was taught in a science class, that water is tasteless, colorless, and odorless. So I agreed to the odorless part, and I also agreed to the colorless part. But the first point they mentioned was water is tasteless, and then colorless and odorless. And the teacher, after teaching, she said, any questions? And I put my hand up because I had just come from the temple that Sunday where I was taught Rasoham Apsu Kaunteya. Krishna says that I am the taste in water. So I put my hand up, and the Sanskrit, please forgive me, I don't know why Sanskrit keeps coming up in my tongue, but the science teacher, she said, yes, what's your question? I said, we have heard in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna saying that he is the taste in water. which means water definitely has taste, and it has the best taste because Krishna says, I am the taste in water. So the teacher said, you please call your mother tomorrow. And I was really scared because that was like a parent-teacher meet. They call it the PTM, parent-teacher meet. So call your mother the next day. And then next, I was scared. I didn't know why, but I think I was in fourth grade at that point. So my mother came to the school and my teacher was telling my mother that, please tell him not to ask questions from the Bhagavad Gita because I am teaching what is taught in the science textbook. So I just remembered that how Prabhupada's books not just help us in the temple, but actually in real life as well. So we can see the water element, one receptive organ or one ability to grasp reduces in the sense you can't smell, you can't have the odor for water. Now let's move to the next. From earth, where all five senses can feel and taste and perceive, to water, where only four. Now let's go to fire. Now fire you can't touch. It's reduced further in the sense, well, you can touch, but it's going to burn. So you can see, and of course, there is some fragrance of fire or there is some stink depending on what's put in. And you can hear fire, but you can't taste fire and you can't touch fire. So you can see that ability has come down. Now, when you see with respect to, and some people also have a different opinion, they say that you can touch fire, but you can smell and taste. So depends on who's interpreting that. Either fire is taken as you can smell and you can taste, or some say you can taste and you can touch. Okay, now when you go to the next element, which is air, earth, water, fire, air, which is the fourth element, you can see with air, now a couple of things have reduced. You can see, you can definitely feel. You can hear air. When someone is saying something, you can hear and you can feel, but you can smell. You can taste and you can see. So with earth, all five senses possible. With fire, only four. And coming down, then water. Earth, water, fire. With water, only four. And with fire, only three. And with air, only two. And that is, you can hear and you can feel. Now, when you come to ether, which is the most subtle element, now you can see that you can't even feel it. And there's only one thing you can do, and there's sound in ether. So one thing that is constant, you can see through earth, water, fire, air, and ether, is the sense of hearing. It's the sense of hearing. With earth, you can hear. With water, you can hear. With fire, you can hear. With air, you can hear. And in outer space, ether, you can hear. And according to science, that is the first organ that develops in a child while being in the womb of the mother, which is the sense of hearing. And this is why we can see Prahlad Maharaj in the seventh canto, he started to hear from Narad Muni as early as being in the womb. And the last thing that winds up while before the person leaves his body is the sense of hearing. He may not be able to see, may not have cognitive ability, may not be able to speak. Kapavata pittai kantha varodhana vidau smaranam kutaste. May not even be able to perceive and touch something and even contemplate. But one thing is for sure, hearing continues. And this is why we can see when a person is departing, you don't show him a picture of Krishna and you don't make him hold a Shaligram Shila and you don't force him to speak Krishna Leela or Krishna Naam, but you silently continue to chant in his presence, because the first element that develops in the womb and the last sense that leaves is the sense of hearing. So you can see, even from a material perspective, hearing is so important. And it, depending on what we hear, our consciousness develops. Those emotions develop in the heart. We can see, how did we learn different languages? How did we learn different subject matters in school? It is by hearing. It is by hearing. You can see, even if someone is blind, and if they have an excellent ear or a hearing ability, they can be multifaceted and multi-talented. I remember in my childhood, my first mridanga teacher was, by Krishna's arrangement, netrahin, couldn't perceive through the eyes, but had an excellent ear. Excellent. He played so many instruments, sang so melodiously, played harmonium so well, played the mridanga so well, played the kartal so well and so many more instruments. And at that point, I wondered that he may not be able to see through his eyes, but just by the sound, I remember I would play the mridanga in my childhood, and the teacher, just by hearing, he would say, no, you should not be using this finger. You should be using this finger. And then I would use the right finger. And then he would say, no, but you should be playing it in the middle part, not in the end. So his sound, his hearing was so sharp that although he never saw me or saw the way I played the instrument, but just by hearing how the fingers hit the different ends of the mridanga, he was so expert. So we can see this process of hearing is so important, even from a material perspective, that it leaves behind impressions, it leaves behind emotions in the heart. How are we woken up from sleep? By an alarm clock, which is again sound. If someone comes and keeps a slogan, a banner, a placard in front of us, please wake up. We're not going to wake up because our eyes are shut. But by having an alarm clock which rings, we can see it can wake us up from material sleep. Even science says everything starts from a big bang. Not that we are going that direction, but they talk about sound. Even from the interfaith perspective, from different religions and different faith, we can see that the Bible says in the beginning there was the word. In the start, it was sound. And what to speak of the Vedic scriptures, which speak about Tene Brahmaridaya Adikavaye Muhyanti Yatsuraya, that Krishna actually infused all knowledge in the heart of Brahma through his flute sound. Govindam Adipurusham Tamaham Bhajami. So if material sound can have such a prominent effect in our heart, then what to speak of spiritual sound vibration? The ninth canto Srimad Bhagavatam, Durvasa Muni is speaking to Vishnu in the section of Ambarish Maharaj, where Durvasa Muni has attempted to kill Maharaj Ambarish, and then the Sudarshan Chakra of Vishnu chases Durvasa Muni all over the creation. And Durvasa Muni finally comes to Vishnu offering prayers. And there he says, my Lord, yan nama shruti matrena puman bhavati nirmalaha. I take shelter of you whose name, when heard attentively, cleanses the heart. So when our Srila Prabhupada said, chant and hear attentively, this is the science. By hearing attentively the sound vibration of Krishna's name, which is spiritual sound vibration, imagine the effect it can create in the heart. If by hearing mundane sound vibration, even if it's positive, we feel so rejuvenated, then how much more will we feel? Kimuta. Then how much more will we feel by hearing Krishna's spiritual sound vibration directly? Just by vibrating the sound, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. By hearing the sound vibration attentively, how much gain is there in the heart? Puman Bhavati Nirmalaha. Shastra says by hearing Krishna's name, the heart will be cleansed. Cheto Darpana Marjanam Bhava Mahadavagni Nirvapanam. Shreya Kaira Vachandrika Vitaranam Vidyavado Jivanam. Bhagavan Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, our Shachinandan Gaurahari, has said, Sarvatma Snapanam Param Vijayate Shri Krishna Sankirtanam. By hearing Krishna's holy name and chanting Krishna's holy name, what happens? Cheto Darpana Marjanam. The heart gets cleansed. Because the sound, you're chanting through the tongue and it's bombarded through the ear, both sides. And it enters the consciousness and tadvag visargo janataga viplavo, creates a revolution in the heart. Actually, Srila Jiva Goswami in Bhakti Sandarbha, while talking about the effect of hearing Krishna's name, he has quoted a very interesting verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, again from the sixth canto, 16th chapter, where it says, Nahi Bhagavan aghatitam idam. Tvad darshanad nrunam akhila papakshaya yan nama sakrit shravanad muchyate sarvakil vishayi. It is described pukkashopi vimuchyate, that yan nama Nahi Bhagavan ghatit aghatitam idam. O Supreme Lord, it is not astonishing that tvad darshanat nrinam akhila papakshaya, that by looking at you, by having darshan of your form, all the sins are driven out of the heart. It is not astonishing. Why? Yan nama sakrit shravanat. If someone hears your name even once, then pukkashopi, even if he's the most sinful, vimuchate samsarat, very quickly he is delivered from all problems and the cycle of birth, old age, disease and death. Just by hearing your name, then how much more by seeing you? What is astonishing that by seeing you, the heart is jumping in joy. When just by hearing your name once, even a sinful person can become free from all problems. So this is the power of hearing. We can see how did Rukmini Devi fall in love with Krishna even without seeing him. Shrutva gunan bhuvana sundara shunvatam ye nirvishya karna vivarai haratonga tapam. Rukmini Devi says, O Krishna, I offer my heart to you just by hearing your glories from the proper representatives. By hearing your glories, shrutva gunan, by hearing your qualities, what is happening? All good qualities have come in me in the form of my heart has gotten completely attracted to your name, form, qualities, pastimes. Just by hearing from a Brahmana the glorious qualities of Krishna, Rukmini Devi fell in love with Krishna. Actually, in the Srimad Bhagavatam describes, by hearing straight from Krishna the words of wisdom, Nishamya Bhagavad Gitam Pritaha Phulla Mukhambujaha, that Yudhishthir Maharaj, by hearing straight from Krishna his instructions, he became extremely joyful, and phulla mukhambujaha, he became very happy. He became very happy, and he continued to rule after that. Vishnu tejo pabhrimhitam, that completely protected by Krishna's words, Yudhishthir Maharaj became very joyful just by hearing his words. So by hearing Krishna's names, by hearing Krishna's qualities and leelas, certainly one becomes supremely joyful. Nishamya gitam tadananga vardhanam vrajastriya krishna grihita manasa. Bhagavatam describes in the Raspanchadhyay that the gopis, krishna grihita manasa, they lost their hearts to Krishna. How? Nishamya gitam tadananga vardhanam. By hearing Krishna's flute sound, which is transcendental sound vibration, it went through their ear holes into their heart and stole the jewel of their consciousness. You see, when there is an intruder into the house, there's a thief into the house, and you keep a very priceless and invaluable jewel in your closet, in your cupboard, or in your, you know, in your bedroom. If an intruder comes in and steals it and runs away, what are you expected to do? You're expected to run behind him. So Bhagavatam describes, Nishamya Gitam Tadananga Vardhanam. Krishna's flute sound was the thief. He was the intruder breaking into the door of the ear of the gopis, going straight into the bedroom of their heart and stealing the jewel of their love and running away. So the gopis started running behind the flute sound, which was the intruder into the bedroom of their heart. So Shastra describes whether hearing Krishna's Bhagavad Gita, like how Arjuna heard, and Nashta Moha, all his bewilderment was destroyed, right? In the beginning, Krishna says, Tachrunu mai asakta mana partha yogam yunjan madashrayah asamshayam samagramam yathajnyasasi tachrunu. O Arjuna, please carefully hear my instructions. And at the end, Shrunu me paramam vachaha. At the end, he says, now I will speak the most confidential knowledge. Please listen to me very attentively, O Arjuna. And by hearing from Krishna, you can see Arjuna became nashta moha. All his bewilderment went away. Even the Bhagavatam says, ekena manasa. They heard with one-pointed intelligence. And the rishis at Naimasharanya from Suta Goswami. And they became completely joyful. So by hearing the Bhagavad Gita from Krishna, or hearing about Krishna from the Bhagavatam, from pure Vaishnavas, the names of Krishna, the leelas of Krishna, the qualities of Krishna, it is described that the consciousness becomes completely cleansed. So we should be very careful. In this verse, we see how Kashyapa Muni heard from Diti, and the words were to kill Indra. And immediately it caused lamentation in his heart. Another classic example of such an example would be Dasharat Maharaj hearing from Kaikeyi. Here, Diti wanted Kashyapa to do something which Kashyapa didn't like, but he promised. And there also Kaikeyi, presented her views and boons that she wanted from Dasharat Maharaj. And Dasharat Maharaj ended up losing his life in the attempt of fulfilling that desire. And another question is, how did Kaikeyi's heart want for those desires? Because she heard from Manthara. So wrong hearing can also have its flip effect. Like you can see, for example, Hanuman heard about Mother Sita with the right intention from the right source, and the effect was the right principle. He wanted to bring Sita to Ram. On the other hand, you can see Ravana also heard about Sita with the wrong mood and from the wrong source, Surpanakha. And Ravana ended up separating Sita from Ram by kidnapping her. So both heard the glories of Sita. Hanuman also heard, but from the right source and in the right mood. Ravana also heard, but from the wrong source, Surpanakha, in the wrong exploitative mood. And the effect was totally different. You can see the same Bhagavad Gita that Arjuna heard from Krishna, that same Bhagavad Gita Dhritarashtra heard from Sanjaya. Now the sources are also correct. Krishna is the perfect source. Sanjaya is the perfect source. The content still remains the same. But because Arjuna's mood was very favorable and Dhritarashtra's mood was unfavorable, the effect that Bhagavad Gita caused in Arjuna and the effect that Bhagavad Gita caused in Dhritarashtra was totally different. So this opens up our discussion to a different direction altogether. And of course, in the interest of time, I would like to wind it back to the point that hearing is important. Even from a material perspective, we learn through the ear. We learn languages through the ear. We learn subject matters, instruments, so many things through the ear. Then how much more is spiritual sound vibration important? Now, when we chant and we make a hissing sound, in an attempt of chanting more, it doesn't bring in as much effect to the heart. Because Srila Jiva Goswami says, Shuddhe cha antakarane tad yogyata bhavati, that the qualification to meditate on the leelas of Krishna comes in a clean heart. Svachatvam avikaritvam. The heart must be cleansed. And the cleaning will take place by hearing. Srila Jiva Goswami very clearly says in the Bhakti Sandarbha that by hearing attentively. So let's say in an attempt of chanting more, we are rushing through the names and we're not hearing attentively. It's not bringing in the effect. We may have the extra pride of moving in the counter beads and chanting more japa, but the heart is not being as much cleansed as being in the moment and very lovingly chanting and calling out to Krishna and hearing the name. So it's very important. Now, also then we discussed if we are hearing the name or the pastimes of Krishna, the mood must be devotional and the source must be right. So if the source is correct, what should be the source like? Prithu Maharaj, when he was asked for a benediction, what benediction would you like to ask? Prithu Maharaj said, Sa uttama shloka mahan mukhachyuto bhavat padam boja sudha kananila. That let me have a million years. Why? So that I can hear the sound vibration of Krishna's transcendental qualities from the lips of pure Vaishnavas. This is very important. We must hear from the lips of pure Vaishnavas, very advanced Vaishnavas. And even if the Harikatha is very good, if it is coming from the lips of someone who is not practicing properly, the effect will not be quite right. It will be informative, but not transformative. That Harikatha will not have the power to move the hearts. It may bring in some claps. It may impress the audience, but will never inspire them to chant and go deeper on the path of bhakti. So we must, Vaishnava Mukhodgirnam Putam Harikathamritam Shravanam Naiva Kartavyam Sarpochishtayatapayah. We should make sure that we hear from the right source. And how do we know what is the right source? Siddhanta must be correct. Whatever is being spoken must be in line with Guru Sadhu Shastra. The person must be practicing. The person must be repeating what one has heard from one's Guru Varga. The person must be selfless in the sense that should not ask for remuneration at the end of the Harikatha, that I spoke Harikatha, now you give me this, you give me that. One must be practicing and sharing it selflessly. And also the effect should be after hearing. This has also been explained by Srila Jiva Goswami under the category of Shravan Dasha in the Bhakti Sandarbha, that Krishna Seva Vasana, that the desire to serve Krishna and his devotees must rise in the heart. If we are only hearing, and information is coming in the head, that is not the right hearing you want to do. Hearing means hearing, attentive listening, but also practically applying. The desire to serve the holy name, the desire to serve the Vaishnavas in a humble mood, the desire to serve the deity, the desire to serve Krishna by offering our life, anukulyasya sankalpa and pratikulyasya varjanam, that Hari Katha is most glorious. It must take you closer to Krishna's name. It must take one closer to the service to the Vaishnavas. Then that Hari Katha is completely bona fide. So in this way, through this one verse, where Nishamya Tadvacho Vimana Paryatapyata, where we heard how Diti's words were heard by Kashyapa Muni and it got an effect in his heart of lamentation, then that opened up the box on hearing and material hearing and spiritual hearing and the right source and the right mood and the right effect that must come through the process of Shravana. In the Bhakti Sandarbha, Srila Jiva Goswami Pad says, Tacha Nama Rupa Guna Adi Shabdanam Karana Sparshaha, which means Shravanam is defined as the ear touching the sound vibration of Krishna's name, form, qualities, and pastimes. If there's description of Krishna's form, name, qualities, pastimes from the lips of advanced Vaishnavas selflessly, in the form of kirtan, harikatha and harikirtan, then that sound vibration, when accepted in the heart, is called shravana. So in this way, we should hear attentively, and also with a slight caution at the end of the discussion, if this is the effect of hearing, we have to be very cautious what we are hearing through our cell phone. All day long, if one is browsing on Instagram or on YouTube, and not just seeing it through the eye, but also hearing the sound vibration continuously. The consciousness is being bombarded with material, not just material good sound vibration, material bad sound vibration. Think about it. Those are the videos which take one to tamogun and rajogun. They instigate lust and anger and greed, more money and pride and different things. And even if they're just mundane jokes, it's killing invaluable human life energy. The ears which have been given to hear about Krishna have become like snake holes where the snakes of all these vulgar jokes and mundane subject matters are entering and destroying our consciousness. Yanna vrajanti agapito rachananu vadat shunvanti yanya vishayaku kathamatikni yate shruta hata vagai nrupa atasaras tam tam kshipanta asharaneshu tamas suhanta. Bhagavatam Canto 3, Chapter 15, Text 23 describes, by hearing sound vibration, which is not related to Krishna, one will definitely go to hell. Tam tam kshipanti asharaneshu tamas suhanta. One will fall to the lower regions of nature, which means one may become an animal in their next life. Or one may go into lower species or lower regions of life. Because that's what we are feeding our ears with. So we must be very careful to keep our phones aside for many, many hours and just keep it on for maybe about 30 minutes in the morning and 30 minutes in the evening and check whatever calls and messages come and respond to that and let it go. And delete and disable all those apps which are killing invaluable human time. In that time, you can memorize verses, you can sing Vaishnava bhajans, you can chant more japa, you can read more shastra, you can hear from senior Vaishnavas, and even on a material front, you can develop more skills. You can learn to swim, you can go for a walk, you can learn a new instrument, you can learn a new language, and bring out the best and sharpen even the material skills which can be used for Krishna's service. So we have to be very careful what we feed our ears with. Gauro Premanande, Hari Hari Bo, Vancha Kalpatru Vyascha Krupa Sindhubhya Evacha, Patitana Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namo.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Much so nicely packed with this nectarian Prabhu. How we have to hear which mood and so that... Sorry, Prabhu. I don't know if I'm able. I'm audible, Prabhu. Or
yes, no? Yes, Mataji.
Yeah. Hare Krishna. Thank you so much, Prabhu. Such an attentive class. I see some raised hand, Prabhuji, and I don't see any questions in the chat, though.
I think the chat has been disabled.
Yes, Prabhuji. The chat is disabled.
Okay, sure. So, 6 participants, I see raised hands. Sukakara Krishna. Do you have time, Prabhuji, for the questions?
Yes, I have about 10 minutes, Mataji.
Okay, Prabhuji. Aditya Mataji, please go ahead, Mataji, with your question.
I think it's Aditya Bhatt, Prabhu.
Oh, sorry, Prabhu. Aditya Bhatt, Prabhu, please go ahead, Prabhu. Are you able to unmute, Prabhu?
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah.
Prabhuji, my question is not related to this lecture. It's that I have heard this statement that the Diksha Guru shows the Roop and the Shiksha Guru shows the Swaroop of Krishna. And there were some quotations from Chaitanya Charitamrita about this too. So could you explain what this means, Prabhuji?
I could, but I would like to keep the questions related to the discussion, because then there is no then there's no point of the question answer session.
I do.
You can always write to me on the email and then we can touch base from there. Yeah. But if there are questions related to today's discussion, we can always take them.
Prabhuji, I do have one question related to this lecture. That Prabhuji, you said that Indra is a devotee of Krishna. He is a representative of Krishna, who is just trying to show us by example that what is good and what is bad. But we have also heard that whenever a tapasvi or a vairagi, he reaches a high state of meditation or a high state of sadhana, then Indra sends some apsaras to disturb him. He tries to make them fail in their attempts to achieve something good, self-realization or something. So why does he do that? I don't think the Lord commands him to do that.
So there are, in Shastra, there are instances where the characters play as heroes and sometimes they play as anti-heroes, which means they teach us what is to be done and they also teach us what shouldn't be done. So this is not to in any way de-characterize them, but it is actually to learn from their example what should be done and what should not be done. We should be like Indra, taking responsibility on behalf of the Supreme Lord and guiding the demigods. But at the same time, we should not act in those instances, as you mentioned, out of envy for others and insecurity on the post that we are sitting on.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Hare Krishna. My question, the mic was totally muted, so I could not ask at all.
Yes, Sukakara Krishna, Prabhu.
Yes, Prabhu, please go ahead. I'm doing one by one, Prabhuji.
You told me to ask, but it was muted. How will I talk? You called my name, but it was muted. I could open. Amarendra Prabhu, just I want to know one thing. Now, I am finding it more interesting to hear the lectures. Your lectures, I hear all the lectures, so wonderful, it's touching the heart. I'm even getting tears and all. But I'm getting so much taste for this one that the taste for chanting is not coming so much. Hearing Bhagavatam and understanding and helping others is going, but the chanting, I was doing more wrong, that is not coming. Is it wrong that if I get more taste for Bhagavatam, if I do only 16 rounds, and I hear, read and speak Bhagavatam, is it okay or it is wrong? I'm going wrong.
One can never go wrong with the right thing. So it is only whether we can improve from the state that we are in. Definitely it's not wrong. What would be wrong is to give up Srimad Bhagavatam and give up the bead bag and watch Netflix. That is wrong.
No, never.
Yena kena prakarena mana krishne niveshayet, to somehow or the other keep our mind at the lotus feet of Krishna is glorious. But at the same time, Krishna and Krishna Naam are non-different. So if we are developing love for Krishna, the natural characteristic that is seen in practicing devotees is taste for chanting will increase. And that will happen by chanting. First there is nishtha, then there is ruchi. So first we have to chant. And then by chanting, Krishna will give us taste. First, like no, Mother Yashoda.
I'm doing 16 not in the morning, pakka, I'm finishing. Then I'm just into Bhagavatam, Bhagavatam, Bhagavatam. But I thought that even you should do like Haridas Thakura to do so many rounds. That is not, the taste for chanting is not as good as taste for hearing. When I hear your videos, Amarendra means I'm so much attached. I really like it so much. Your everything touches. Each verse, everything you speak, I want more. I've seen all your videos.
Yeah, because the father likes to always encourage the child. So you're hearing in that mood. But nonetheless, maybe what you can also try is maybe from 16, you can make it to 20. How about that?
Okay.
Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur in Harinam Chintamani, he says chanting must be increased gradually, steadily by a count of four.
Four.
Because four rounds is one granthi. It is like tying one rope around Krishna's belly.
Okay.
So in 16 rounds, we have four ropes around Krishna's belly. If you do 20, there's one more rope extra. So you just want to make sure Krishna doesn't leave and run away from the wooden grinding motor of our heart. Okay. So you can kindly continue with Srimad Bhagavatam, but you can increase your chanting maybe by another four. How about that?
Thank you, Prabhu. Thank you so much, Prabhu.
Thank you.
Sumba Sandosham.
Sorry, Krishna.
Mataji, you're breaking up a little bit, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Can we just do the chat questions? That way we can cover more questions.
Yes, I prefer so. Yes.
Sure, Prabhuji. Please go. Do you want me to read, Prabhuji?
I'll read it quickly, Mataji. Okay. Sure. Okay. So there are many, many messages here. Let me get to them one after another. If Lord Krishna is the hand behind the activities of Indra, do they include the ones where he is regarded as the bad one, like the one where he had the plan of Ahalya and Gautama Rishi? Are these also the part of Krishna's plan? Krishna is teaching us through them. Not that Krishna is pushing Indra to act in a certain way, but Krishna is, at least we should think that Krishna is teaching us through these great personalities. Next question, how can we control our inner negative emotions and feelings which come up randomly sometimes while doing bhakti? Srila Prabhupada used to say that chant with your tongue and hear with your ear, don't worry much about the mind. Prabhupada Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur has also written something very interesting in this regard. He says that slowly but surely by increasing our chanting, these negative emotions will go away. Don't get demotivated by them. Next question, at the time of difficulty when we chant the name of the Lord, does it include in Namabhas of our spiritual account at the time, or are we committing offense? Chanting in the time of desperate help is considered to be Namabhas. And this is why we can see Nishamya Mriyamanasya. It is described that the Vishnu Dutas came to Ajamil because he was helplessly chanting the offenseless name, the Namabhas, not the pure name, but the offenseless name. Next question, how can we control anger? We can see that when our child does something, we don't get so angry as much as when someone else does something. If someone else has made a mistake, we get angry. But if we get to know our child has done that, somehow we end up forgiving because there is a sense of minus. So similarly, if we have attachment to Krishna and we see the whole world to be connected to us, then naturally there is no anger because you see Krishna living in their heart, whom we have developed love for. Only when there is pratak bhav, which means bhayam dvitiya abhiniveshitasya, when we see Krishna separately and the world separately and these people not connected to me, that's when there is anger and revenge and a sense of teaching them something. I want to show them something. But when we understand Krishna, who's my object of love, lives in the heart of all these living entities, and they all dayaya sarva bhuteshu santushtya yena kenava sarva indri upashantya cha tushyati ashu janardhana. If I want to please Krishna, then I must serve everyone around who are all the resting place of Krishna in their heart. So there is no question of anger. And also, sangat sanjayate kama, kamat krodho vijayate. That anger comes because of unfulfilled material desires. and they can be destroyed by chanting the holy name. It is described, yat shunvato paiti aratir vitrishna sattvash shuddhis paramatma bhaktim jnanam cha vijnana viraga yuktam. Actually, 2 verses, Canto 10, chapter 7, text 1 and 2, and also Canto 12, chapter 12, text 50 and 55, both describe that by sattvam cha shuddhyat tyachirena pumsam, that by hearing about Krishna, material desires leave the heart. By chanting about Krishna and hearing about Krishna, material desires leave. And when material desires are lost, then there is no more anger, because anger comes as a younger brother to material desires. How can we develop humility without being unconfident, apprehensive? I'm asking this question as I try to superficially humble in outside world, full of arrogance, but due to it, I'm suffering from low esteem and self-deprecating nature. Actually, we did recently a discussion on humility. You can kindly go through that. I think it's on YouTube already. And if there are more questions, we can always take it ahead. How to feel empowered when one is exposed to material world, even one is chanting regularly and not getting exhausted? The more we keep in touch with proper association, bhaktistu bhagavad bhakta sangena parijayate, we will feel empowered. The more we keep ourselves to material world, like for example, we have to work for 8 to 10 hours a day, so that material sound vibration is polluting us anyway. So we should make sure that in the morning and in the evening, we give ourselves enough dose of chanting. If we feel, Srila Prabhupada, actually I can show you one letter. One Mataji wrote to Srila Prabhupada that the material fever is not coming down even after I've increased my chanting. So Prabhupada said, increase it even more. Srila Prabhupada says, when the fever is not reducing, then increase the dosage of the medicine. So Harinam must be increased and Harikatha must be increased in the association of advanced Vaishnavas. Sajatiya ashaye snigdhe sadhu sanga svato vare. What one should be in the association of senior Vaishnavas and hear from them and chant the holy name and do kirtan and increase the effect, the dosage. Naturally, the effect of the symptoms, the material fever will come down. Next question. How to connect to daily classes? So Bhakti Sangha has daily class in the morning and in the mid-morning. And also during the day, there are other classes which I'm unaware of. So you can definitely write to the devotees. And for classes, I don't do daily classes. But whatever classes are being done, I think there is some WhatsApp or some Telegram, which I'm unaware of. So if there is someone who knows, you can send this information. I don't know how to add them. What is your email address for any questions? Sure, I'll send it in the group. If anybody has any questions, you can write to me here. How to overcome addiction to phone? Well, just keep it aside. Just keep it aside. Keep it aside and maybe have it for half an hour in the morning, maybe half an hour in the evening. Chanting the holy name while in problem, is it right or wrong? Oh, it's wonderful. It's wonderful. Krishna says, Chaturvidham bhajante mam jana sukritin arjuna artho jidnyasu artharthi jnani cha bharadarshada. So chanting the holy name while being in difficulty. Yeah, it's wonderful. If hearing so much Harikatha heart is not changing, then what is the reason? Either we are not hearing from the right source, or we are not hearing the right content, or we are not hearing in the right mood, or we are not hearing enough, one of the four. Either it could be a person who is not a proper speaker in the sense, not speaker, but is not speaking with the right source, right intention, or we are not hearing with the right intention. We are not hearing to purify our heart. We are hearing to gain more knowledge and information and maybe pass it on to others and impress others and things like that. Or just for some intellectual gratification. Or we are hearing jokes and just other things. It's not just unadulterated Srimad Bhagavatam. It's not unadulterated Harikatha. Or we're not just hearing enough. Maybe we are hearing like half an hour a day, which won't do. It will do, but not as much. One last question. How can we say that we are emotional or we have true love for Krishna? Srila Rupa Goswami Pad has said for that, Shantir avyartha kalatvam virakti mana shunyata asha bandha samutkantha namagani sadaruchi asakti stat gunakhyani priti stat vasati stale. We will have extreme tolerance, extreme forgiveness, extreme humility. We will never waste time. We will want to respect everyone and not have any material remuneration. We won't be attracted to money or position or the opposite gender. We will have extreme greed, constantly chanting and reading and hearing about Krishna and not going anywhere else. Our tongue will not attract. Anger will be completely subdued. No prajalpa. No sexual urge. At the same time, extreme taste to Sri Vrindavan Dham. Titikshava Karunika Surida Sarvadehina Majata Shatrava Shanta Sadhava Sadhu Bhushana. One will be a friend even to one's enemies. Even when one is corrected and chastised in public, one will take it positively and see the hand of Krishna in everything and not have any revengeful mentality against anyone, and at all times sees Krishna in the heart of everyone and is always happy and joyful. These are some effects, apart from hair standing on end and voice choking and tears coming from the eyes. But our tears are unpredictable because they come even when you watch a movie. They come even when you pass the test. It'll come even when you flunk the test. And it may also come when you hear Krishna and Sudama's pastimes in Dwaraka. So that's not the litmus test. But these aspects are. How many hours can you sit and hear and chant about Krishna without any other discussion? Or do we feel after all of this, oh, now, come on, let me just take a break and eat some samosas. So, depends. If our senses are still controlling us, it's a long way to go. So we should sincerely take shelter of Krishna, offer prayers in a prayerful mood, and take shelter of the mood of service to Vaishnavas. So at this point, we want to pass on the call back to Padma Mataji. Thank you, Mataji, for hosting, and to all the organizers, Preeti Vilasini Mataji and Kirtida Sundari Mataji and Shamagari Mataji, and also all wonderful participants from Sukhakara Krishna Prabhu to this insignificant self and everyone in the middle. Thank you for participating. Back to you, Padma Mataji.
Hare Krishna Prabhu. Thank you so, so much. Wonderful question and answer session as well and Nectarian class. Let's pay our obeisance to Prabhuji. Vancha kalpatarubhyascha kripa sindubhya eva cha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Anantakoti Vishnu Brinda ki jai. Srilupad Bhagavatam ki jai.
Jai.
His grace Amarendra Prabhuji ki jai.
Jai.
Prabhupada ki jai. Gaudiya Guru Varga. Sri Radhe.
Pranam Radhe.
Pranam Pranam. Thank you, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji.